today on Real Life Radio.
So according to God, in 1 hour, of one moment, of one day, of one second, all of Jack Hibbs's sins were dealt with at the cross 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean I'm automatically saved, nor you. What it means is God paid the price. What kind of a fool would reject what he's done?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Jesus warned us that in the end times, deception, like a virus, will spread like wildfire. Disguised as the answer to all our problems, our secular culture can only offer replacements to the truth. The good news is that the truth of the Bible is the cure. In Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he exposes the lies with knowledge, experience, and scripture. In a world of deceit, this book is a powerful tool for answers and for truth. From the inspiring foreword written by Mike Pompeo to the final chapter, Living in the Days of Deception is a powerful must-read. Let the deception of this world stop here. Order Living in the Days of Deception today by making a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/days. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled Getting Ready for the Big Day. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why that matters in our lives today. You see, our future really matters, and God promised that whatever He calls us to do, He will equip us for that task. But how do we get ready for the big day? Today, Pastor Jack teaches that getting ready for the big day means that it's time to die to our passions and desires of the flesh, to come to the end of ourselves, so that Jesus can get us to the end. Now, with his message called Getting Ready for the Big Day, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The death of Jesus Christ at the cross, as we shall see today, killed you. So wait, what are you talking about? As a Christian, I told you this message is for Christians. The old life, the old Jack that he used to be before I met Jesus. Listen, Christ killed him at the cross. Jesus was sinless, pure, and perfect. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to something else and to another. And that person was me, and he died for me. He died for me. It's a place of position. I've been crucified with Christ. This means crucifixion was never a solo event. In any case, how so? Number one, in the Roman sense, a man that was crucified for his crimes, right? Think of it. He was crucified for his crimes. Did you know over the top of the head of every Roman crucifixion was the man's offenses? Did you know that? Over the top. They nailed that. The guy was sentenced, somebody else, maybe it was a bailiff, so to speak, right? Wrote down what he was accused of, and then you were led out to Golgotha, you were thrown down on that cross, and as they nailed you to the cross, one of the magistrates of the law would hammer a plaque to the top of the cross, and it said what you were guilty of. Do you know what, by the way, there was a sign over Jesus' head too, wasn't there? Do you know what he was guilty of? It says that he was king of the Jews. They didn't want a king. They didn't want King Jesus. They wanted a politician. That never goes well. Politician, Jesus. Politician, always go with Jesus. Always go with Jesus. Yeah, we know that more than ever now. But there's another way that you were crucified in the Roman Empire. And over the top of your cross, It didn't have murder or thievery or whatever it was. Tens of thousands of people were crucified in the Roman world, and over the top of their head was the word Nazarene. Nazarene, did you know that? Nazarene is what the world called believers who followed Jesus. Oh, that's a Nazarene. You say, no, I'm born in Judea. You're a Nazarene. No, I was born in Bethlehem. Nope, you're a Nazarene. What made you a Nazarene? To follow Christ. Jesus was from Nazareth, they said. And so even today in the Middle East, when they're beheading and crucifying Christians, do you know they put that U? I should have gotten it for you on the screen. Have you seen that U?
Yeah.
Nun.
Yeah.
Nun. What is this? Muslims go down the streets, jihadists go down the streets and they mark a Christian home in Syria or in some parts of the Muslim world and they get some paint and they put a U on the front door and that means a Nazarene lives here, a follower of Jesus lives here. They are to be punished, they are to be cursed, they are to be killed. And so when a martyr was put on the cross for following Christ, his guilt was for following Jesus. Those days, by the way, seem to be advancing in the world more than ever. But no one is crucified for crucifixion's sake. There's always a reason. There's always a reason why people are going to attempt to crucify you, so to speak, at work. There's always going to be a reason why someone wants to crucify you and your family or in the community. Dear friends, listen, let them crucify you for the right reasons. The right reasons need to be that you are a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
And you think about that. Get ready for the big day, church, because unless the Lord, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, we're going to go through persecution. There's an antichrist spirit going across the globe, around the world right now. But the truth of the matter is there's great liberty. Put on this truth. It's time I die. And that means I'm dying to the old Jack, to the old me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. 5:24 says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." You know what that means? This is awesome. This is what I'm talking about, us dying. It means this, that here I am, I'm a believer. Listen, everybody, please don't assume. I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. I hope that's one of your prayers. I hope that's one of your profound prayers. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer. This morning I got up and one of the things that I did was when I got done finalizing the message, I put on, anybody remember Maranatha Singers? I put on Maranatha Singers and one of the songs that popped up immediately was a song that said that I'm here to follow you. I've come to follow you. And if that's true, and when I heard that, I said out loud, because nobody was around, I said out loud, Lord Jesus, please make me, cause me, put me in a headlock if need be to get me to follow you more and more. Closer, Jesus, closer, closer to thee, please.
Yes.
Is that not your prayer as a believer? I don't want to get closer to this world. Have you not, listen, any non-Christians in here? Come on. Join the team that wins. Here's the team that wins. Read the book of Revelation. At the end of the book, we win. Will it get tough for us? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Are we going to be hated in this world? Yes. Here's the truth of the matter. Man, listen, go for the long pass. Go for the long haul. Go for the finish line. Because short-term pleasure, short-term rewards do nothing but rip you off. It's not going to be worth it. It's like a sugar rush. When you're hungry, give me a Tootsie Roll. You're going to get sick. You're going to get all charged up for 3 minutes and then you're going to come down and you're going to, listen, you're going to be just as hungry with a headache. That's what the world does. Never satisfy. Listen, Jesus walks you through the difficulties of this world and it's satisfying. And he gets us to the end and it's victorious. Why? I have been crucified, the Bible says, with Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells me, this is heavy stuff. Listen, this is heavy because it sounds so basic, but it's so heavy because few of us apply this. When the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ, it means that when Jesus Christ died there, he died for you personally, Greg. He died for you, Mike. He died for you, Karen. He personally died for you. And that's something he did 2,000 years ago. Listen, it's done. You say, yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago. Yes, he did the job then. So that when you hear this gospel preached, you wake up to the reality of what has been and walk into it, receive it so that it is now true with you in your life. It's absolutely awesome. You can say today, I have been crucified with Christ. Why? Because when those desires of the flesh, here's the thing. Just because Jesus died on the cross for Jack 2,000 years ago doesn't mean that Jack walks around every day, all day long with sinless thoughts and perfect thoughts and perfect motives. No, listen, the fact that Jesus died on the cross for my sins secured my inheritance. It's done. Ain't nobody tampering with that reality. I am forgiven in Christ. But because the Holy Spirit takes his truth, check it out. This is what makes us believers and disciples in this day, is when it says, I've been crucified with Christ, Paul is telling us this because you've got to tell yourself that every day. When those old desires pop up, that's why he wrote Galatians 5, verse 24. When a mean thought comes up, or I'm going to do this, forget about that. I'm going to go for it. I want it. I'm going for it. And you stop thinking about the ramifications or the sinfulness of your desire. You're in trouble. But the person that sins, or the backslider, or the unbeliever, or the obedient believer, the same temptations come to all men. Every one of us. What tempts me tempts you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen, let me pick on someone. I'm going to have you stand up and tell the church what you're tempted. Why do you laugh? Nobody would do that, and for good reason. But I got to tell you, but the moment you said, well, my big temptation is this, as soon as you say it, people are going to go, oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, golly. People can relate to an instant, to that reality. Why? Because it's us. It's our human nature. But here's the difference. The believer says, nope. No, I know where this goes. I know he died on the cross for me. This is an antithesis to what God wants to do in my life. Listen, my flesh is going, let's do it. But I know in my will, it's not the right thing to do and it's not God honoring. I refuse to do this. In fact, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to shut the blinds. I'm going to speed away. That's the difference between a believer and a non-believer, or a believer and a backslidden believer. That's the big difference. You've got to see this. And you would say to yourself, I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. It's so vitally important. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, listen to this, regarding the cross, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Remember that plaque over the head? That's it. That's the log. That's the sin log in heaven. It's removed, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Do you see that? Do you see? Do you hear? God nailed it to the cross. So according to God, in 1 hour, of one moment, of one day, of 1 second, all of Jack Hibbs' sins were dealt with at the cross 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean I'm automatically saved, nor you. What it means is God paid the price. What kind of a fool would reject what he's done? You see, that's what sends a person to hell. It's not that you reached, maybe in the, 88 sins? 88, if you hit number 89, you fall into hell. The scale tips, and you just slide into the abyss. That's not how it works. Jesus died for all the sins of the world. Every sin. You say, well, why don't we all just get to go to heaven then by default? Because there's one sin he didn't die for. One sin. It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is it? It means to reject the gospel. To reject what he did freely. To reject what he's given to you freely. You reject it. You push it away. You don't want it. In other words, you're telling Christ that he died on the cross for nothing. That he wasted his time. No, listen. For the believer, it's always the right time for us to die, because when we're in charge, when we're living, when we're calling the shots, Christ is not in control. Number two, getting ready for the big day, put on this truth, and that is, it's the end of me. Coming to the end of me is good news. Look at Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who live. Don't you love that? Look, I'm pumped up. I know this is first service. We got a long day here to go. But I'm excited about this. It's no longer I who live. Man, that look, honestly, that verse should just cause someone to have a brain freeze. What a statement. It is no longer I who live. I'm sure if you went to a psychologist or a therapy session and they asked you questions and you were to say to them, you know, I'm a Christian. And it's no longer I who live. They're going to make a phone call. They're going to call for backup or get you a pill. What do you mean? What do you mean you no longer? It's no longer you who live. That's Christ living in me. Okay, I'm going to get a few more doctors in this room. The world cannot understand this. Listen, but in the Old Testament, you had the priests and the priesthood. You know, they were ordained by God. The Bible tells us that they were commissioned by God to prepare, watch, in this order, themselves as priests on the day of sacrifice so that they could be sanctified to the work of God, so that God might anoint their offering that they're going to present. And the Bible tells us that they were to bathe, clean. They were to put upon themselves fresh garments, listen, and they were to take the blood of innocence and they were to put it on their right thumb or on their right earlobe and on the right toe. Isn't that funny? Say, what is that? That's kind of weird. It's all reminders of authority. Right toe, right ear, right thumb is speaking of sanctification. This priest now has been sanctified by the blood of innocence. Then God says, now you're ready to come in and do the duties for the nation, for the people. They had to be prepared. All of that that they did was to put on a display with fresh clothes, with blood, with all of this. In the human sense, church, they were like a new person for a moment, and they went and offered a sacrifice for the nation so that it might be acceptable to God. Listen, Jesus, the Bible says, is our high priest. He's the one. Listen, he didn't put his thumb in the blood and his big toe in the blood. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he was marred more than any man. Did you know that? The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ at the cross was so disfigured and mutilated, he did not resemble a human. You think Mel Gibson did a gruesome job on Passion of the Christ? No, that's a joke compared to what happened to Jesus. Imagine meat being put in a blender and then having it shaped in the human and then put on a cross. He was mutilated, the Bible says, marred more than any man. Why? Because it wasn't his thumb, it wasn't his ear, it wasn't his big toe. It was all of God on the cross for your sin and mine. All of us were paid for there at that moment. And it's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit and me. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and woe unto me. Oh my God, my Lord, my King, have mercy upon me, Almighty God, and forgive me of my sins. That's why the Bible said, is it no longer I who live? Just like the priesthood would appear before God in Jerusalem, it's as though they didn't live. But they did. They needed a Savior too. But the priesthood, in a sense, listen, mimicked what Christ would do coming in the future. They acted it out. And this, my friend, is a declaration of practicality. It's no longer I who live. Romans 6, verse 6. Are you guys okay? Romans 6, verse 6 tells us, knowing this. I love when the Bible says, knowing this. You know what it means? It means every believer knows this. Knowing this. He's reminding you. We would say today, you know this. Don't be dumb. You already know this is basic. That our old man was crucified with Christ, with him. Now, some people try to wiggle out of that and think that's talking about your dad. That's not talking about your dad. It's you. Your old man. Listen, June 20th, 1977, Monday night, around 9 p.m. at night, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. In that moment when I responded to the gospel reality, the truth hit me in the face. My old man died. I was 19 years old, but in that moment, old Jack died. And here's the number one reason how I know that, because from that moment on, there was nothing but struggle in my life. No, I mean that in a good way. Struggle. I never had a conflict with myself. Whatever myself wanted, I got it. I didn't withhold. I think it's like Solomon said, I didn't withhold anything from me. Neither did I. Neither did you. Don't look at me like that. You didn't. Whatever you wanted, you manipulated around to get it. That's what unbelievers do. I don't blame them. That's all they're living for. And then Jesus walks into the picture. And can I say happily ruins everything? He just shakes it all up. Oh, we don't do this anymore. What? And we're not doing that. Not just, and maybe a little bit? Nope, not at all. How about this? Gotta go. And Jesus moves into your life. And listen, he doesn't take out everything at once. He goes from room to room. He's like a Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know. They work on the house and they get each room done at a time. But they all work off a blueprint, do they not? And that blueprint is Jesus Christ in you. That's what God's doing to the life of the believer. That's why you're alive right now in the 21st century. That's why you're here. There's a blueprint that God is working. And best you die to you and accept that reality so that he can get the job done. It's a beautiful thing to die to yourself. It's a beautiful thing to come to the end of you, no longer having to control it all. This means that our new lives are now being animated. I love that word, animated by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36, verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you. This is God speaking. This is awesome. I will put my spirit within you and cause. See the word cause? This is a big word. If you look it up later, the word cause here in Ezekiel 36, 27, the definition and application of this word cause is huge. It's so broad, but it means this, accomplish. I will put my spirit within you and accomplish, administer, carve into you. I like that. To carve into you. That's powerful. To bestow upon you. Here's another word I love. To celebrate. That's what it means. Let's read it again. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to celebrate as you walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. What an awesome statement. See, I told you earlier in the beginning, God doesn't call us to do anything that we are to do in our own effort.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Getting Ready for the Big Day. So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scripture from the Bible and what that means for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So, Pastor Jack, you've written a book called Living in the Days of Deception. Tell us a little more about that, would you?
Yeah, you know, the very age in which we're in right now is actually the motivation to writing this book. A couple of years ago, I did a sermon teaching, Living in the Days of Deception.
Yeah.
And it just turned out that that sermon, we were approached by Harvest House Publishers, and they asked us if we would actually do a book regarding that sermon series. And so that's exactly what we did. And it has proven to be something of a prescient or advanced book type of situation, where we've got things going on now in our world that this book, frankly, is addressing in real time. So we're pretty excited about that fact.
So you use the word days. Some folks would think it's D-A-Y-S.
No, it's D-A-Z-E. Good question. Thank you. Days, like in the days of deception, meaning the fog,
right,
the confusion.
Yeah.
Really the disorientation of how we live now.
So who is this book written for, Pastor Jack? Would it be for a college student? Maybe somebody who's not a believer?
Yeah, here's what's really great about that. It's for all people, really. I'm serious about this. It's great for the Christian. It's great for the high school or college student trying to figure it out. And frankly, it's just great for the average citizen. It's labeled as a Christian book, but it's not written specifically only for the Christian. It's very useful.
So tell our real life radio audience something that's in the book that they might not expect.
I think there's one element where they would not expect the issue of the deception of words, the meaning of words, the definitions. People are using today different dictionaries than we've ever seen before. Words that we thought we knew 5 years ago, it turns out we no longer know the meaning of them. And all that plays into part of the Days of Deception.
Order Living in the Days of Deception today by making a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/days. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.